Thankful to come to a place tonight where we can get more strength to press on. Look forward to what the Lord will have for us tonight. We've got just several prayer requests, and we have a visitor with us tonight, Brother Tim Calhoun from Alabama, I think moving around some right now, so I'm not sure exactly where, but if when we stand, if you wouldn't mind to come pray over these requests for us, and appreciate you folks visiting with us tonight. Please pray for my nursing supervisor's dog, Jax. He's bleeding behind his eye, and they fear his retina is detaching. She's very upset. Brother Keith Phillips turns that in. Also pray for traveling mercy for Sister Estep and Sister Donna Pistole. They're traveling to Indiana. Rebecca Phillips asked for prayer for her son. Special request. Lord knows all about it. Sister Christine Baker, having pain from sciatic nerve, asking for prayer tonight. This is from a sister, Kathy Higgins from Kansas. Wanted to let the church know I'm ready to be discharged from the hospital late this evening. The Lord is so wonderful. I'm weak and will probably be weak for a while, but surgery was successful. Praise the Lord. She wants to thank everybody for your prayers. Continue to remember my family in prayer. Continue to pray about our court case that's coming up. That's from a brother Moyer. He also has a request for his wife. If you'd stand tonight as our brother comes to take these needs to the Lord, I'll just share a testimony with you. Sister Cheryl McMillan from Alberta called, wanted to share a testimony of how well that Haley and Kyla were doing. These are the two young girls who both had cancer in their bodies. Haley with cancer with growth on her ankle and leg area, and Kyla with a brain cancer. Prognosis for both were not good, but the grace of God, Haley is doing great, has grown 5 inches since her surgery, and is very active. Kyla is also progressing, and although she has a tube, goes from her brain down through her throat, is doing well. Both girls remain very close to each other. Simply a miracle. So they want to thank everybody for your prayers. And we thank the Lord for what He's doing there. Amen. I'd just like to mention one more request. A friend of mine's 18-year-old daughter was in a very serious car accident, severe brain injury, and she's just really needing a miracle. So if you all could remember her tonight as well, we'd sure appreciate it. Thank you, Betty.
Well, we're from Manchester, Tennessee now. He's correct. We have moved around a bit lately. It's just good to be here. Let's all pray. Our gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to come to You tonight, Lord. Father, the great mercies and grace, Lord, that You have bestowed upon us in this hour. Lord, how thankful we are to be able to be a part of Your people in this hour. And Lord, as we look upon all these requests, Father, I can't remember them all, but they've already been spoken, Lord Jesus. And Father, Lord, we just ask you to meet each and every need, Father. For Lord, you promised us, Lord, that you came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And so, Father, we're looking for that abundant life tonight, Lord Jesus. We're expecting it for our brothers and sisters with these requests, Lord. And Father, we're expecting it here among us tonight, Father, that you'll walk up and down the aisles and meet every need in every heart. Pray for our brothers he's preparing, that, Lord, you just pour out upon him that anointing, Father, to come and break the yoke. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
And you can be seated tonight. Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, I'll coming to you, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low and says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I'll walk on the water, I calm the raging sea, I swore multiplied. Yeah. Amen. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, let's sing this together, Be Multiplied. We need our voices to be multiplied tonight. If you look behind you, there's probably not anybody behind you. So let's do our part. make a joyful noise. It's awful quiet in here tonight. Let's sing this together. Sister Anna Lynch is going to sing for us. If you want, come on to the platform. We'll just sing this chorus a couple times and she can sing for us tonight. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Thank you.
Like to stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Let's just sing this together. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. I believe that's in G. Well, take up your cross, follow Jesus.
I not only appreciate His cross, I appreciate mine. It proves I'm a son. Him having a cross don't prove I'm a son. It proved He was. And it proved He come that I could be free. But if I've got one with my name on it, it proves I've got a cross, I'm a son of God. You ought to thank God for it, saints. Amen. You love Him, appreciate Him with all your heart tonight. He's so good to us, isn't He? Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, if you would, tonight, verse 28. While you're turning there, I want to say I want to apologize because I got something twisted around here the other Wednesday night in the scripture about the arms and the hands, and maybe some of y'all caught it. Somebody had told me about it later, and I didn't realize what I'd done. But I'm sorry for that. I've been preaching about 42 years now, and I've been waiting to try to preach the perfect sermon. Once again, I messed it up. So, I'm sorry. I certainly wasn't trying to change the word or trying to make it say something different, but somehow in my head, I just got it twisted around, and I was quoting it the wrong way. And did y'all catch it or hear it? Some of you did, some of you didn't. Some of you just asleep. That's why you need to stay awake. That's fine. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I certainly wasn't trying to do that. And I guess the best thing for me to do is just go ahead and preach tonight, too, since I figured it's So let's look again tonight on our great King and the gallery of sovereignty. We'll pick up again on the elder brother here. And Jesus so beautifully conveys him. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. That's very important to get the perspective of this sonship here that's given to this older brother. Just like the younger brother has sonship. Now, this is not tribal order. These are brothers. Amen. They're both sons. sons in different degrees, but both sons. Son, thou art ever with me. Now he's going to have a possession. He doesn't have it yet, but he will. And all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. And was lost, out of circulation, out of fellowship. He was lost and is found. Not changed from a goat to a sheep, from a hog to a sheep, but he was just out of circulation. But now he's found. Amen. You love him with all your hearts. Let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord's help over the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. We're grateful, Lord Jesus. Once again, we can assemble ourselves together in your house, Lord. Pray that you'd help us tonight, dear God, as we look into your word once again. Father, you see our needs as we've come together on this Saturday night. We're so grateful that we've come to the great table of the King. Lord, people out doing all kinds of things on Saturday night, getting drunk, getting high, committing adultery, just whatever more. But we're so grateful that we have a desire to come to the house of God. And we're thankful we have a house that we can come to, a place to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, I have in my hands tonight this prayer cross of Brother Gene Littleton. Lord, you see these needs in our brother's body. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you just move for him. You see the situation that he's facing. I'm praying, Lord, for strength and healing and deliverance in our brother's body. Take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to us, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. You know, I mentioned to you last Saturday night, I think it was, about all the great attributes of God. And this to me is one of my favorites. Of the attribute of God, mercy, love, kindness, forgiveness, pardon, all that he has. But I love the attribute of sovereignty, in that God himself can choose and do. He doesn't need anyone else's permission. It's absolutely perfect when he does it. But as I begin to look at the sovereignty of God in a little bit different angle than what I've ever looked at it before, I become a little bit surprised as I've seen the sovereignty of God, how that it goes on display, and how surprising that it can be to the recipients of that sovereignty, in that God can be able to orchestrate his plan of election, foreknowledge, predestination. Truly, we believe in that part of it. But even at the advent of the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that from Genesis chapter 1 that Adam was first a spirit being. Then Genesis chapter 2, he was a spirit being placed in a natural body or a body of the earth that he was going to bear the image of. But Adam was not just a spirit son. But Adam was also a flesh son, which we have never yet attained to that spot. Thus far, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those of us sitting here tonight to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, our soul has entered into sonship and to daughters with God. But our body is not yet entered into that phase. But it's going to. Because complete redemption will only be consummated when our bodies have entered into that stage. Now, as I begin to look at this week and begin to ponder how that God, when he poured out the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost first came, and he chose sovereignly the way the Holy Ghost would fall. Now, truly, it was a great, great blessing to the apostles and to the 120 in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell, but I never quite given so much thought to it, I guess, in the way that he chose for it to fall. Even the descent of it condescending from the supernatural realm, changing dimensions, and of course that's beyond our understanding how in the world an invisible God would come into a tangible realm, and he must choose the way by which the Holy Ghost will come. Now the Holy Ghost can appear invisible, of course. He can come also in visible means. He can come in invisible and then be able to make himself in things in a visible way, which is what he chose to do in Acts chapter 2. And whenever he did that, there was something something about the way the Lord chose to do it. And this is what just so stuck to me on the last few days as I've been looking at this. Why would God choose to allow the Holy Ghost to come in the way that it did? And as I begin to look at that and I realize once again it is the sovereignty of God choosing the way the Holy Ghost come. Now I want you to notice this, and we'll read this together in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were with one accord in one place. Now we know up to this time, of course, the day of Pentecost, it did not begin on this particular day, but it had been around forever, that it was a feast day. So it's coming 50 days after the harvest and the end gathering, all that, the day the Lord Jesus ascends. Now watch in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Now here God sovereignly is choosing how His life is coming into the church. Now God could have chose a very quiet, small, still voice. He could have chose where it would have been a very gentle, nice, easy breeze, and it would have just come through so gently and never to interrupt anybody. But instead, the sovereignty of God chose that it would be a mighty, rushing wind. Now, why would God do this? Now, remember, this is totally His choice. This is not multiple choice that the disciples a couple of days before this get a questionnaire. How would you like for the Holy Ghost to come? Choose one of the three. And they go down through, well, Peter chose a rushing wind, and Bartholomew chose, well, maybe a still small voice like came to Elijah when he was in the cave. Well, maybe, what about the pillar of fire? But you know what? God never gave them a questionnaire or multiple choice. But we see that God again asserts His position as Father to choose the way He wants to bring the Holy Ghost. And you say, what's this got to do with the prodigal son? Absolutely everything. And his brother. Now remember, they're fixing to be born again. They've already believed. They've been baptized. So there's 120 of them. And we know that Peter and the apostles that had preached. But also in this upper room is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, Mary found great favor in the eyes of God. She was chosen by God to be able to bring forth God's body on the earth. And the church said she was highly favored before God's eyes. An angel of God come and talk to her. So she found great favor in the eyes of God. That was not enough to get her to heaven. She bore the word in her womb for 9 months, and that was not enough to get her to heaven. Mary had to have the Holy Ghost. And if Mary had to have the Holy Ghost, you and I is going to have the Holy Ghost. Now, your God could have chosen so many different types of ways for the Holy Ghost and His first advent to come. Now, remember, this is the Alpha Bride or the Alpha Church. And God is producing an original by which every other age and those that receive it should follow the original pattern. So God, be careful now, because the way you're going to do this is going to influence future generations. Now watch, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Now notice, it filled the house before it filled them. So it was apparently a visible something that had you been standing there, they had curtains hanging up, or there would have been light things that was laying around, this wind would have actually moved these articles or these objects and curtains and whatever more, because it was a rushing mighty wind. Now again, it could have been slow, it could have been gentle, it could have been easy, but God in His sovereignty is choosing how to deal with this. Now remember, it's not just going to affect the seed gene, but the older brother in these people is also going to be affected by the way the Holy Ghost comes. Well, glory. I feel Him moving already. Hallelujah. Now notice, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice they're not kneeling. They're not standing. They're not down at an altar. altar because it wasn't in a church. They were in an upper room, which was a feast room or a house, the upper room of a house. So they are sitting. They've been praying, no doubt. They're talking to God and they're trying to understand what's going on, laying aside. They're in the final stage of sanctification before the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes. And God is going to choose a way by which His church will be born again. Now remember, it's the sovereign choice of God, and God is displaying His sovereignty in the way it's going to come. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now remember, cloven is parted or divided. Now the cloven tongues as of fire appeared upon each of them, and then they began to resemble the manifestation of the cloven tongue in their language. Now when the wind comes and it brings, it fills all the house where they are sitting, and cloven tongues, which is departed tongues or divided tongues rather, as the pillar of fire is coming among them. So if you look at it like this, the wind comes through the building saying this place last night tonight, and the pillar of fire comes through, and all of a sudden the lit goes off on you and you and you, and it is a divided or a parted tongue or lit of fire, and it would set upon you and you and you, and here we are, and the pillar of fire is just whirling around, and the wind is blowing, and it's a rushing mighty wind, and say we start swaying in the presence of God, and cloven tongues begin to set upon each of us. Now notice, it's not went in yet, and he appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat. It ain't went in them, but it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Now notice, here comes the visible manifestation. So the pillar of fire is divided. They go to looking around. Peter looking at John. John looking at Matthew. They're looking at Bartholomew. They're looking at Mary. And there is Mary. She began to stagger under the presence of God. And my, something began to move all among them. And they look over each other's heads. And there's this pillar of fire dividing. And then the Holy Ghost begins to fill them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the church said,
amen.
How many folks at Happy Valley believe this? How many believe we still need the same thing? Same baptism of the Holy Ghost I'm talking about. Now watch in verse 12. Now of course, whenever this happens, then they begin to go out into the streets. Now it must have been very odd, very peculiar. I mean, all the people begin to look at it and they were amazed and they questioned and wondered what in the world. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What in the world is this? We've never seen anything like this at all. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Wow, you mean when the first folks got the Holy Ghost, they acted drunk? And we got the same thing and barely can make a move? How long has it been since anybody accused you of being drunk on the Holy Ghost? Now look, you're going to be drunk on something in this age. This is an age of drunkenness. Everybody is going to be intoxicated. You're going to be intoxicated by money or by wealth or by your possessions or by vacations or ball games or whatever more. Everybody is going to be drunk on something. Remember that old whore in Revelation? Whenever she had a cup in her hand, she was making the denominational daughters and the world drink of her cup. And we know that Satan is an impersonator. So if he was having his wife to make folks drink from a cup, then who is he impersonating? God, because God has his wife passing out another cup. Amen. But it's not the wine of our fornication. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we're drunk on. Now others said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up. Oh my Lord, what in the world is the matter with this setting? Now Peter is in the upper room, and they said, and then they rush out of the upper room, and when they do, they come out among the people, and they come down among them, and they're just kind of standing around acting really strange. And Peter, I don't know if he fell, I don't know if he's just kind of leaning up against something like this, and then Peter, you know, they kind of go looking at him, and Peter kind of comes to himself. Now this is the pastor, of course, of the move, and he kind of gets a hold of him. himself and gets his composure together. And he said, these folks ain't drunk like you say. Now, he didn't say they wasn't drunk. Friends, why is it that the message people have a different version of this Holy Ghost? And we're supposed to be the Omega Bride. Well, glory. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose. Now, as I said, he didn't say they wasn't drunk, but they're not drunk the way you think. But it is the third hour of the day. Now, most of the Jews, I don't know if you know this or not, but most of the Jews, this was 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the time of morning worship. So most of the Jews did not eat or drink, devout Jews, they did not eat or drink until they had first read from the Mishnah of the Torah and until first they had went to the hour of prayer. So the Holy Ghost come on the Alpha Church. Amen. The Holy Ghost come on the Alpha Church at the worship hour, which was 9 o'clock. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now Peter comes and says, we're not drunk. These people ain't drunk. I mean, we've just been up to worship and pray. So he said, this is but the third hour of the day. So it was the time of the morning worship when the Holy Ghost came. I wonder what time it'll return then and the end time. It won't be morning worship. It'll be end time worship or the evening time. Now, whenever God chose, now remember, God could have chosen. This is not the apostles' choice themselves. They did not get together and say, now how do you want to act when the Holy Ghost falls on you? Now how do you want to behave? Do we want to get up there like a bunch of doctors and theologians and we'll walk out with our collars all turned around and we'll act like scholars and mind we'll talk such deep talk? They would have more than likely never chose for the Holy Ghost to fall on them the way he did. And more than likely they would have never chose to act the way they acted had they had a choice of it. Well, glory. Watch this. Brother Bram says, the Holy Ghost fell as soon as the disciples left Egypt. Now, I love the way he types this. As soon as the disciples left Egypt on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came from heaven, same place the man had come from, like a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting, cloven tongues set on them like fire. They went out of there screaming and acting like drunk men, dancing, staggering, screaming, slobbering. Oh, dear God. Oh, some of y'all scared already. Now, why is God doing this? Because he wants to. See, friends, don't never tell God you won't do this. Now you might tell him the way I do sometimes, Lord, if you wouldn't care, I wouldn't want to do things like that. If you don't care, but if it really bothers you, I'll do it. I mean, God wants me to turn somersaults and swing on every chandelier in here, I'll do it. I'd rather I didn't have to. But you know what? If our pride gets in our way, he will humble us, won't he? Now think, this is what? The sovereignty of God. But why couldn't the Holy Ghost come and just saturated their soul? Why did it have to move on the older brother and embarrass him this way? Now you see how the soul received in the upper room and they rejoiced and shouted and praised God in the upper room. But you mean they got to come out where everybody's got to see them and they got to act this way like they are drunk. They're acting like they are soused down drunk. Yes. Amen. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I know y'all come to church and I expect a real good service. And I'm sorry that... Notice this. He says, did you ever see an old drunk coming home? Boy, he's taking both sides of the street. Hello, stranger. Nothing bothering him. There's no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. Here they come, coming home, staggered under the impact of the Holy Spirit, which was God's manna, come down from heaven, and it's fell from that day down to this day. Oh, hallelujah. Why would God do such a thing? Because he wanted to. There was something about this coming. Don't you know every person, if they didn't have to pay a sacrificial life, oh, most of them would choose heaven over hell any day out of the week. They would choose the rapture over the tribulation period any day out of the week. But they got to live a certain way, dress a certain way, do a certain thing. They ain't going to do it. Come on, children, don't get quiet. Oh, Brother Donnie, you're outdated. You need to quit preaching holiness. I quit preaching holiness. If God ever demanded holiness, he demands it now. If God ever demanded a close walk with God, he demands it now. It ain't no time to compromise. It's a time to stand for what's right and let the world know we're on the Lord's side. My mind. Notice this again. He said, the Bible said it. They were all in one accord in one place. And certainly, there didn't come a priest. There didn't come a preacher. There come a rushing mighty wind from above. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Big flames of fire. Set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and went out into the yard staggering like drunk men. They were acting like maniacs. So you tell me, what Holy Ghost do you have in 2016? Is yours a maniac Holy Ghost? But see, ours is much more sophisticated. It's nice. It's genteel. Never raises its voice. And don't preach hard. And never hurts anybody's feelings. It's politically correct and socially correct. A lot of folks aren't real drunks. They're just spiritual social drinkers. They just drink enough of the Holy Ghost when they go to church to wash the word down. Quote, 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 scripture, 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 quote, 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 scripture, scripture, scripture. Now you're powerful. I've got to watch you now. You got me behaving unseemly here. Acting strange. Now, I'm not talk funny or run or jump or sweat or Lord have mercy. It might hurt my prestige and my pride. Come on now. So we're spiritual social drinkers. We drink just enough of the Holy Ghost to make us stinking miserable. Oh my, notice this. Brother Brim, can you imagine Brother Brim saying this now? They went into the yard staggering like drunk men. They were acting like maniacs. Drunk. And of course, they come out like this. And they thought they were drunk. Glory! Praise the Lord! And that's the preacher. That's the pastor of the church. Well, glory. Don't tell me God ain't sovereign. Don't tell me God don't know how to humble us. Well, praise the Lord. Some of y'all are scared to death right now. You done got your toenails crumpled up in your toes and your socks have got five holes busted in them because of the pressure on your feet. You're scared to death. I'm fixing to do something. Don't worry. I ain't going to do nothing to you. I ain't going to make you do one thing. I ain't having no march around Jericho tonight and we ain't going to do this, that, and the other. No. You know what? If you don't want to really be able to you'll submit yourself to the Holy Ghost, sit right there and quench the Spirit of God if that's what you want to do. Brother Ben said, talking about tongues, speaking in tongues, he said, if I have to crow in tongues, if that's what the Lord wants me to do, I'll do it. Now, as far as I know, Brother Ram never did crow in tongues, but I believe he has submitted to what the Lord wanted him to crow in tongues. It occurred. Oh my, can I go on? Thank you. Now notice this, and the Bible says, be not drunk upon strong drink, which is to excess, but be ye drunk on the Spirit. What's the matter today? We ought to get so drunk till our carcasses, not your soul, but your older brother, till our carcasses. Now what he's making a reference to is a man that was so drunk, laying on the side of the street. The guy come by and tells the cop, he said, you better get that guy in the place, he's going to freeze to death. Real cold night. And the cop said, you don't understand. He said, that man is so full of alcohol. Every cell in his body is permeated with alcohol. He said, that alcohol won't let him freeze to death. Then Brother Branham tells that story, and then he links this for me. I'm making it personal. Do what you want to with it. We ought to be so drunk till our carcasses would be full of the Holy Ghost until nothing else can perch in its way. The trouble of it is we don't get on a good old-fashioned Pentecostal drunk. Some of you poor Methodists here at Happy Valley, I feel so sorry for you. I don't know why I feel most sorry for some of you Methodists here at Happy Valley, or some of you Baptists, or some of you Presbyterian. Really, to be honest with you, it's you Church of Christ that I feel so sorry for. Can you imagine? How long has it been? Don't raise your hand or don't answer me vocally. How long has it been since you was on a good old-fashioned Pentecostal drunk? Well, how long has it been since you was on a UT drunk? Or the Denver Broncos or Baltimore or whoever more and this and that and the other. Were you just so excited and so elated that you was almost beside yourself and he was on a football drunk. Praise the Lord. But how has it been since you've been on a good old fashioned Holy Ghost sows down drunk? That you just got so drunk that the prophet said you doubt your doubts. That's drunk, ain't it? That you get so drunk on the Holy Ghost that you doubt your doubts. You say, why would God do that? Because he's God. And you're not. Because most of us would never choose this way. When Paul wrote about the foolishness of preaching, he might as well put my name in there. Because I'm one of the most foolish preachers you've ever seen in your life. When he talked about humbling ourselves, it should be every man, woman, boy, and girl in here that said, God, whatever you want me to do. If I've got to crawl to heaven, if I've got to scream every step of the way, whatever I've got to do, I'll do it. That don't mean you'll have to. God knew he wasn't going to have Abraham to take the life of his son, but he wanted him to be willing to do it. Oh, but Brother Donnie, it would embarrass me to death. Oh, it would humiliate me so much. Oh, I could never take it. Well, God knows your makeup, but God knows for some of you, you don't have to get out there and dance like I do, or Brother Joel does, or Brother Charlie, or somebody else. But you may stand there and say, Lord, it would kill me. Lord, I'd turn 14 shades of red, 13 shades of purple. It embarrassed me to death, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it, Lord. And God said, that's all I wanted to hear you say. You'll never do it like Donnie. You'll never do it like so-and-so, but I just wanted to hear you say it that way, you will it. Oh. Question answers, what's this? Brother Ben again says, when they received the Holy Ghost, what did it look like? Women and men, the Virgin Mary, And all of them staggering. Right, drunk men reeling. Screaming, stammering lips and other tongues, carrying on like a bunch of idiots. The original church. I thought I was in a message church. I'm sorry. Is this Sinking Creek Baptist? I must be at the wrong place. Well, I'll pack my notes and leave. I'm sorry. I thought I was in a message believing church here. That. You say, why would God do that? Listen, and He'll tell us why. But they were dying to themselves. Now this takes their choice. I don't want to do that. No, Lord, I can't do that. What are they doing? He's actually allowing them to die more by making complete idiots out of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Carrying on like a bunch of idiots. Staggering. Stammering. Slobbering. Spitting. Maybe falling down and getting back up again. And the people are looking at him and says, they're drunk on new wine. Now this is called in the book of Isaiah, sweet wine. It was some of the most potent wine that you would find in all the land of Israel. And this is what they thought they were drunk on. Now, only the most severe drunks got drunk in the morning. Most drunks waited till up in the day. But these folks had an identity that they had a bad problem. They were dying to themselves, and the Holy Ghost was coming into them, and they set the known world afire. What we need today is men who will die out to themselves and rot. Amen. And how were they dying? By submitting the older brother to the headship of the Father, which is transforming the soul by new births, and humbling the man. The woman. Now, was the body saved? No more than yours is. Was the body converted? No more than yours. The body probably felt embarrassed, felt humiliated, felt ashamed. But God wanted to do it that way. Sometimes holding us close, my sister, ain't just for God. They're for you as much as anything. The way we have to live and the way we have to dress and the way we have to write. It is a shame. It is a shame and an honor. And that's why Laodicea will never do it. But we are willing to bear that shame and that reproach. Because we love Him more than we love ourselves. Oh my, if the Holy Ghost fell on them and it made them act like drunk people instead of dignified people. If that's what it took, so be it. Oh my. Notice this, he said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began stammering with their lips, and they began to speak with other tongues, and they acted in such a way until the audience on the outside said, these people are full of new wine. They are drunk. Of course, in the message churches today, this is a drunk, typical drunk message believer. And this is really far out. I mean, they're tearing the pew all to pieces when they're going this fast. When they do that, you better watch out. But friends, I'm asking you a question. Are we sure? Are we sure we're in the pattern?
Think about it.
Amen. Well, glory. Mama, I used to work at a garment factory years ago before I went full-time preaching. I didn't work in actually the layout department, but I worked in the shipping department. The way it worked there in that place called Aran Leisurely's in Monticello, Kentucky, owned by a Jew out of Waterbury, Connecticut. The way it worked, there was some big gigantic doors there, and the trucks would come in and unload these rolls of fabric. They had great old big long tables that was as long as this church building, probably a little bit longer. And they would have guys that would go back and forth and back and forth, and they'd take these rolls of fabric. And the fabric would sometimes be this tall. I mean, it would be layer after layer after layer after layer after layer, depending on how many dozen of these garments they were going to make. And then they would run out these patterns and they'd lay them out and pin the whole thing, say from here to the back door. And then they had men with saws that was about this tall, big old long blade. And they would stand there and you know what they would use? They would use the paper pattern. And they would cut the pattern for size 4, size 5, size 6, size 6X. So even though the layers of fabric might have been this deep, they didn't need a pattern every 2 runs. They didn't need a pattern every 3 runs. They had one pattern right on top. And then those guys would take that knife and they would set and cut it down through that. Then when they had it all cut out, they would take strings and tie it up in bundles, size 6, 6X. This is an arm, this is a sleeve, this is a cuff, this is this, that, the other. And they could do dozens, hundreds of dozens at a time. And they use one pattern. One pattern. God has got one pattern and it's right here. I know message people want the pattern. Well, you believe God sent a message? Yeah, you got the Holy Ghost. That's a lie to hell. If you're not born again, I don't care how much you believe God sent a prophet, you still ain't saved yet. It ain't enough to believe the doctrines of the message. You gotta know Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord. Notice what he said. They acted in such a way until the audience on the outside said, these people are full of new wine. They are drunk. See, we want to take Jesus to be our Savior, but not our Lord. That was not the apostles acting that way. Listen to this. I found this morning and I thought, oh no, who am I going to tell this to? Brother Ram says that was not the apostles acting that way. It was Christ in them acting. You mean Jesus would get in me or get in you and act like he was drunk?
Yes, sir. Amen. Yep.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen. All right.
Well, glory. Jesus?
Amen.
The kind, courtesy, orderly Jesus?
Yep.
Well, friends, we believe it or we don't. I mean, it's up to you. It was Christ in them acting, the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostle, making people act drunk. Staggering around, stumbling, slobbering, spitting. Jesus? But you see, we got in our mind Jesus. That ain't Jesus, that's a devil.
Oh.
Sophisticated intellectual demons are infiltrating our churches. People get into a spot they won't even respond to the word. Well, glory. Oh my. Whew. The apostles were men like you and I am. He said, but the Holy Spirit made them act different because he'd become full ruler in their life. And they had no more prestige and pride. Oh my goodness. So God sovereignly chose the way which the Holy Ghost would birth their soul in order to humiliate and embarrass the older brother. Why? What's he doing? He's working on their pride and their prestige.
Amen.
Glory to God. Notice he said, Mother, the Mary of Jesus and the rest of them women, the 120, how had to climb the steps of the upper room and be filled with the Holy Ghost till they staggered like they were drunk. Speaking in tongues and acting like a bunch of drunkards. And we all are aware that we have laws in the United States, depending on which state that you're from, It's either called D-W-I or D-U-I. It can be used either way. I don't know what it is here in Tennessee. Brother Joe, some of his other brothers could explain it to us. But in some states, a DUI can be drugs as well as alcohol. And it means that you're driving DWIs, driving while influenced or driving while intoxicated. But as I began to look at this morning, I found some more that I thought maybe I might share with you a little bit. The first one is called SWI. Saved while intoxicated. And another one. Now, you ain't going to find this on Google. Forget it. This is Donnie Reagan. FWI. Now, a lot of y'all know about Wi-Fi, but do you know about FWI? Free while intoxicated. Glory to God. L-W-I. Living while intoxicated. I ain't dead. I'm alive. I'm one of the few on the face of this earth that really is alive. The majority of the world today is dead while they are living. But we are alive, Brother Larry. And another one is VWI, victorious while intoxicated. Oh my, I could go on all night long, but the end result, glory, the end result is RWI, which is raptured while intoxicated. Oh, I want to have so much evidence against me that when the Lord does a breathing test, He'll say, yeah, you're guilty. You're living while intoxicated. You're saved while intoxicated. And you're going to be raptured while intoxicated. You say, Brother Donnie, you ought to be ashamed using them words. I'm going to credit that to your ignorance. So you won't feel so embarrassed when I read this quote. The Holy Ghost gospel is nothing but one great big powerhouse of joy. The Holy Ghost gospel is a perfect intoxication for every man that's got the blues. You'll take a drink of the gospel of Jesus Christ, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're drunk. Until you leave this world. You're drunk. Oh, friend, but what's our problem? We're drunk on money. We're drunk on riches. We're drunk on games. We're drunk on sports. We're drunk on Laodicea. And then we laugh at somebody that's really intoxicated on the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all may not want this. This is me right here. This is me right here. Woo! Glory to God. Oh my, you be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're drunk until you leave this world. Amen. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's a constant stimulation. It's a constant intoxication, drunk day and night. My walk shows it. My talk shows it. My breath smells it. My smile shows it. And some of yours shows what you're drunk on. You don't go to church? Do we have to? Don't we need something from Food City tonight? We're at Food City. The real Food City. This is where the food at, and you're a city set on a hill. Equates Food City. Oh, I believe it's another Dollywood weekend. I'm under such stress. Let's go down and see if Dolly's in town. I believe I could feel so much better. Brother Jimmy, when is Brother Donnie leaving? It's another Dollywood weekend. Brother Donnie's out of town.
Gather all the children together, and we'll pack the station wagon and go down. It's another Dollywood weekend. Oh, Dolly, here we come. And then you wonder why you ain't got no peace. You wonder why you and your wife can't get along, and why you got trouble in your family. You're drinking from the wrong cup. You wonder why you ain't got no peace, why some of you ain't prayed through in months or years, why you ain't got no desire to come to the house of God and listen to tape. You put down your bottle, brother. I'm a simple person, okay? So I decided today I'd look up the word intoxication just to see what it meant. It means to excite or elate to the point of enthusiasm or frenzy. Now, you're going to tell me you're a football lover and tell me that don't do that to some of you? And you come to church and sit there like a bump on a pickle? And Jesus, if Jesus can't do no more to you than a kicking around a pig skin, you may need to be kicked. You need to get on the drunk. If a basketball would excite you more than the Holy Ghost, you better wake up. You're going to be left here. My friends, measure yourself. Measure yourself. Are you so intoxicated that the meaning of this word is manifesting you to excite or elate to the point of enthusiasm or frenzy? Lord have mercy, what in the world is the matter with him? He's getting ready to go to church. He's excited. Well, I thought he was on dope. No, he don't do it in his veins. He gets his from a Holy Ghost syringe. To excite or elate to the point of enthusiasm or frenzy. Unable to think or behave normally. So you see, if the current level of your Holy Ghost lets you think normally, behave normally, you're not drunk. You're just kind of sipping a little bit. Because all your emotions are under complete control of you. Well, I'm not a Pentecostal like you are. Well, I feel sorry for you then. I am Pentecostal by experience. I don't doubt it. I don't deny it. I make no excuses for it. Yes, sir. I hear Brother Ben say in 1962, Pentecost is God. I'm a Pentecostal. Not 1906 Laodicea. I'm the original drunk kind. I still stagger. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I slobber. If any of y'all ever got drunk on the Holy Ghost, if some of you don't know what I'm even talking about, do you even know what it's like to get so drunk? And the prophet said in his report, we need to get so drunk that we don't even know what our name is. But of course, I'm sorry. Excuse me. We're in the message. We got rid of emotion. We got rid of healing. We got rid of deliverance. We got rid of God. All we want is doctrine and fussing and fighting and arguing, debating and gossiping and running this one down and that one down. That ain't what I want. Listen to this, an enticing spirit. Brother Bram said, the Holy Ghost is joy. I wake up drunk. I go to bed drunk. I'm drunk all day long. Drunk all night long. Of course, you socialites. Pardon me. Now, some of y'all are Victorian wine drinkers. Whoa, man, that's strong. That'll do me till next Sunday. That'll do me till about the end of August, and I'll be back, Brother Donnie. I'll see you then. Okay. When you come back, I'll still be drunk. Now, if this is your size of cup you want, you can have it. I wish sometimes I was hooked up to a 55-gallon drum with a siphon hose. About that big around. Don't hook me up to no IV thing. I mean, hook me straight to the... Put me straight to the line and give me all I can take in one time. Turn me every way but loose, then change me and make me brand new one of these days. Or, of course, I could be like some of the other message preachers. Do you think that don't humble me to know I'm a fool? Do you think I don't know that I'm laughed at, ridiculed, and made fun of all over this world because of the way I preach and what I stand for? Don't you think my pride, my arrogance, just like yours, gets humiliated, embarrassed because of the way God anoints me? But arrogance takes a back seat. Woo! Some of y'all are scared to death right now. I want you to notice the title of this sermon. Brother Bram mentions this in Enticing Spirits. I guarantee you one thing, friends. If we spent more time being drunk and intoxicated under the power of the Holy Ghost, there'd be a lot less trouble in this church. There'd be a lot less trouble in your homes. A lot less trouble with the children going to school. But we get our minds and our lives so filled with so many other things. We're so caught up in Laodicea. And if we're not careful, we're going to start drinking out a cup of Laodicea. And we're going to be left in this world. What is really the most important thing to you? Being ready to leave this world in a rapture? Or living in a compromised state of the world? My, it's going to get to a place around the message. You can't preach against women bobbing their hair because the pastor's wife does it or the deacon's wife does it. We can't preach against mini skirts and splits and high heel. I'm going to preach against it because I'm still drunk enough to be able to read it here in the message. And the Bible condemns so ungodly dressing. The Bible condemns you men not leading your homes higher in God. Let's stand. Now, I'm going to walk by each one of you here tonight and check your breaths. Blow into my analyzer.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get my ticket book out and see if you pass. You better hope to God you pass. Because
yeah.
The rapture is gathering all those who have tickets.
Amen.
Tokens. Tokens, they breathed into the analyzer and the breath of God breathed back into them. Does it embarrass them? Does. Does it humiliate them? Does. But you know what? We'll get into it, Lord willing, in the morning. This baptism of the Holy Ghost don't just make you scream and holler and shout. It brings your body subject to the Word. It humbles the thing first. Oh my. It humbles you. And then if you need a little more humbling along the way, he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again under the auspices of the Father until this body is finally brought to a place that under the leadership of the soul, the prodigal son, which has been restored, he will lead your body into a body change. Maybe some morning around 9. 8 or 9 or 10, who knows exactly what time it'll be, and I'm standing there, I've been up for a while. I went down to study, maybe it's a normal day, and just go down and study. And I hear Carol upstairs, so I go up the steps and brush my teeth, maybe comb my hair. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, them gray hair's gone.
Yes, sir.
Wrinkles went, whew. And I see somebody standing behind me in the bathroom. Maybe it's Brother Homer Arnold. Maybe it's Brother Allen. Maybe it's some of these other brothers and sisters. And I know then it ain't going to be long. I'm going to be changed. Oh, glory to God. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. My body is going to be so tickled that he listened to my soul. My body is going to be so tickled that he obeyed my word. He will never resent one time the Holy Ghost moved on him. He'll never resent it then, Brother Larry. He'll be so glad. You imagine how embarrassed and ashamed and humiliated, whatever more that they must have felt. But I guarantee you one thing. When Peter stood there that day and they took that older brother and hung him upside down on a cross. That older brother reasoning and talking, what are you doing? What are you doing? But that younger brother of the soul said, hold on. Hold on.
Amen.
I'll go before you and I'll cross the river. But I'll come back to get you. Praise God. The Holy Ghost comes in their soul on the day of Pentecost and it humiliates their flesh. What's it doing? A sign of submission. We all have to run and jump and holler and scream and shout. Of course not. But we got to be willing to do it if he wants to do it. Oh my, but Brother Donnie, my channel is crying. Well, cry then. But submit your soul to say, Lord, if you want me to take off running, I'll run. If you want me to holler to the laptop of my voice, everybody in the church, including Brother Donnie, will pass out, but I'll holler. I'm willing to do it, Lord. I'm willing to do it. That's what he wants from your lips, Abraham. And about the time you get ready and you're building up your strength and you're thinking, Lord, here it comes. That's okay. You don't have to do it. I just wanted to say that you would. And you're saying, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And then you cry a bucket full because you didn't have to. Oh, my children. Children, breathe. Into the analyzer. What do you think on? What do you talk on? Where do you live? Are you so drunk that you get up drunk? You go to bed drunk? Or are you just drunk on life? Busy, 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 busy. God help us. We need to get real good and sober tonight. And then get on a good Holy Ghost drunk. And just stay on one till we're changed. Oh, I realize, I'll get all kinds of emails. A lot of the intellectual brothers around the message will blast me to no end. Quite all right. I expect it. I'll be called every name you can imagine. I'll be made fun of and preached on, if not tomorrow, next Sunday by this time. But that's all right. I'm used to it. Pardon me while I get drunk. Should I worry? Should I worry? This one says that and that one said that. Or should I just keep on drinking? As we looked at it Wednesday night, some of it comes in the form of dew. Some of it's buried down in the ground. You got to dig. However I got to get it, I want to get it. I want to be so intoxicated. Did you see, friends? Our world is intoxicated with politics. Men, women don't know if they're women anymore or men. The denominations are so intoxicated, they're looking for a ruler. They're going to find a world leader. Everybody's getting drunk.
Oh, thank God. Let us get drunk on the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
We live in this world, sure. We walk out here in the world and rub shoulders with them, but we're in the world, but we're not of it. Do we love our homes and our houses and plant flowers and raise chickens and raise taters and all this? And sure, we do. But let's not get drunk on it. Let's be so intoxicated in the presence of God that at any time the Lord Jesus can pull you down an aisle in Walmart and go to dealing with your soul. At any time He can deal with your soul there at Home Depot or Lowe's. Why? You're so intoxicated you never get it out of you. Glory. Remember them people in the Bible, and Paul said they had addicted themselves. Addicted themselves for the service of God and His people. May we be addicted to life, holiness, church. God bless you. You love Him with all your heart. Do you need this, friends? Do you need this Holy Ghost? Oh, praise God. Let me read this again. The Holy Ghost gospel is nothing but one great big powerhouse of joy. The Holy Ghost gospel is a perfect intoxication for every man that's got the blues. For those of you that are fighting depression, don't you see what you need? You need to get on a drunk. Praise the Lord. You're so burdened down with life and the things of life. This is what you need. Not more pills. Not more pills. You'll take a drink of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're drunk until you leave this world. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a constant stimulation. It's a constant intoxication, drunk day and night. Me and Carol were sitting at Old Charlie's a few weeks ago, just sitting there trying to enjoy a little bit of supper. And there was some guy sitting over around the bar, and generally Old Charlie's is considered to be a family type of place. You know, it wasn't late at night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the evening. This old boy had had too many drinks, and he was getting louder and louder and louder. So the waitress come back and brought her food. She says, is there anything else I can do for y'all? I said, yes, ma'am, you can. I said, you can tell the manager that guy right over there needs to tone down his mouth because he's offending us. Brother, you didn't. I did. And my face didn't get red the way yours did. I'm a paying customer just like he was. He wants to talk that way and act that way. Let him go back in the restroom. Let him go out in the garbage pile. That's where his mouth matched. Praise the Lord. There's other people in there besides him. So in a few minutes, I watched the young lady. She went back there and the manager come out and he started talking to the guy. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? He's feeling good. He probably didn't realize how loud he was. That's what some of y'all say, dear God, Brother Donnie is so loud. It's because I'm so drunk. I don't realize it. And every now and then Michael gets drunk back there with me on the PA and he don't realize how loud it is either. And sometimes the musicians up here, they get drunk and they go to hammering down on these instruments. It's you ones that ain't drunk that stand there like that. Oh, dear God. I've never drunk a drop of whiskey in my life. Never smoked a cigarette, cigar, pipe. Know nothing about any of it. But I've been drunk most of my life. I started getting drunk when I was a boy. They give it to me rough. They beat me and hit me and blah, 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 blah. I at least got started there anyway. But you know what? I didn't really realize what a powerful drink you could have until I popped a top on Malachi 4. Glory to God. I thought I was drinking some powerful stuff back in Pentecost. We thought, hey, was drinking a man alive. This stuff here don't curl your toes. It changes them. It don't just my make you feel good. It's going to change you and your older brother. Yeah. Let me go through these Donnie Reagan originals again and I'll let you go. SWI, saved while intoxicated. FWI, free while intoxicated. LWI, living while intoxicated. VWI, victorious while intoxicated. The end result, RWI, raptured while intoxicated.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Now, I don't mind telling you, I've been so drunk sometimes in the Lord. I've got drunk enough to where I just started feeling really good. And then he just kind of backs off the dose, you know, and you go to getting a little bit lightheaded and kind of feeling oozy and all that sort of thing. But I've got so drunk in his presence, I got to where I couldn't stand up. And I got a weak need and fell. And I was reading it yesterday where Brother Branham was preaching and he was spitting and a carrying on. What pulpit manners. And he got to spitting and slobbering. And he said, forgive me for spitting and slobbering. He said, Lord, that embarrasses my wife to death. He said, when I go to doing that. He said, but what it is, I've been eating that clover from over in Canaan. He said, I'm like a horse. I'm just spitting and slobbering. Now, you know, you can tell by looking at Brother Brown, the way that he dressed and the way he conducted himself, that he was a man. He was not proud and arrogant. But you can tell that he combed his hair, you know, not with motor oil or nothing like that, but he looked decent, he looked nice. You can imagine when the Holy Ghost got to moving on him, then it made him do things and say things that later he thought, how embarrassing. But it's just amazing, the more you drink, I don't care. Brother Bam said, you ever watch an old drunk because he's going home? You see, that's my problem. I'm a drunk. And I'm going home. Yeah. So I say, you want to go?
Yes,
sir. You go? All right. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right.
We're going. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You tore my microphone off. Well, glory. You want to go? You want to go with me?
Yeah.
Let's go. Except you can't go being an old man. You got to be a young man.
I am young. I got to change.
One of these days, me and you'll be the same age.
Wow. Wow.
I realize for some of you, you do this when you talk about money or your next trip to wherever or whatever. I feel sorry for you because you're sitting right here where rapture power has been preached service after service. And you're getting drunk as a dog on Laodicea. Some of y'all talk about movies. You can talk about movie stars. You can talk about all kinds of stuff. How much you know about the word? Is Hollywood going to give you rapture and faith?
No.
Movie stars and all kinds of facts and figures about this. Do you really think that's what's going to get you out of here? You better get drunk. You better get drunk. If you want to leave this world. Young people, don't you settle for, well, I go to Happy Valley and I believe God's in a prophet. Get drunk. Get so drunk on the baptism of the Holy Ghost that drugs, homosexuality, the things of this world will never get you. Rock and roll music, no. Rock and roll, friends, has such a power about it. The prophet said when a person hears it without something being there, it catches their attention. Why? It has an intoxicating power. Don't you understand this rap music and all these things of the world? It has an intoxicating, numbing power on the people. Oh my. Well, let me preach. Let me stop. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. My. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I know these are very simple illustrations. I realize it's ridiculous, really. Foolish. Some of the deep message theologians around the message, they ever hear this, they'll laugh and ridicule. And mama. But I really don't care. The same prophet that taught about the thunders and the seals, this come from his message. These are his quotes. I thank you for them, Lord. You know me better than anybody does. You know I got an element of pride. An element about me, Lord, that I don't like to be embarrassed. And you got a great sense of humor, so you made me a preacher. And you made me one that I give everything. Whether it's a building full, half full, one-tenth, it don't matter. I've preached to thousands and preached to three or four. I preach exactly the same way every time with all of my heart. Lord, help me to never change. I don't want to be like some preachers in this message I've seen that they regulate their anointing and their strength, how much they put out according to the crowd. If the crowd's there, then they preach big. If the crowd ain't there, they preach little and get the service over. But Lord, I want to give my all and my best every service. You'll never make me answer when people miss church. But if I regulate according to what you give me, according to when the people's here or not here, you'll make me answer for it every time. So I want to give my all. You've embarrassed me many times. You've anointed me in ways and made me say things. You've humiliated me over and over again. And I pray I can always, always be humiliated. I pray I never get to a place that I think I'm so big and know so much that I won't submit to the Holy Ghost. Help me to preach simple if that's what you want, deeper if that's what you want. The main thing is, what do you want, Lord? Help us each one, Lord Jesus. We don't want wildfire. We don't want fanaticism. We want truth, Lord. But I think we become so worried about wildfire, we've put it all out nearly. We're so worried about fanaticism, we don't have to worry too much about that in our ranks. We don't have that many of those around us. We've so squelched it and put a damper on it that we wonder why folks can't live right. They can fuss and fight and argue and debate and have all kinds of church problems. But how many of them would attend a prayer meeting? Or if you're having a business meeting and people's going to fuss and be able to give their view, everybody wants to show up. But how many would come for a prayer meeting? All we're going to do is pray. Help us, Lord. We're getting so drunk on Laodicea and its riches and clothes and what we own and how much we're worth. And Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Lord, help us that we never press that cup of that old whore to our lips. That Laodicean condition, rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We don't need to be stimulated. We're deep. We got the deep things. We don't need emotion. But Lord, you chose to send it this way. You sovereignly chose. You could have let it come down there. They never made a move. They never moved hardly at all. But that wasn't the way you chose it. Your sovereignty was displayed. Thank you for letting me find this, Lord. I've wondered about it all my Pentecostal background, all up through there, and since I've been in the message. Why did you choose to come this way? I see it more clearly now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've got to bring this flesh of ours subject to the Word. Why not start as soon as we get the Holy Ghost? Praise God. We may cry, we may raise our hands, who knows what we'll do. But the subjection starts right there and it don't end until we go by the way of the grave, until this body is changed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? I don't think, friends, tonight we're going to get the music going and try to get everybody jumping and shouting and hollering around. No. If the Lord wants to do that, we'll do it. But that's not my intention at all tonight. The thing I want to try to lead you to is just an attitude of submission. That if the Lord wants you to stand there and cry a puddle of tears, so be it. If He wants you to jump straight up and down, so be it. The important thing is not be like me, be like your mama, be like your daddy, but be like Jesus. Be what God wants you to be. If Christ in Peter made him act drunk, then Christ in you or me can do the same thing if He wishes to do so. If He wants to cry, He can do so. Whatever He wants to do, that's exactly what we want. Whether you're ecstatic in your worship or whether you're jumping or not, you can still be drunk on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So drunk. Oh, hallelujah. You don't need an upper. You don't need a downer. You don't need a lower, a tab for this and this for a mood swing and that for a mood swing. It's awful. Many of our message people addicted to pain meds. They're addicted to all kinds of things because they're not drunk enough on the Holy Ghost. All burdened down with all kinds of pressures and got the blues and depressed with this and that and the other. Oh, the Holy Ghost is here to intoxicate us tonight. To lift our burdens. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I wonder what the Lord could do here tonight. If we could just get in one place and one accord, as it were, in one mind, not worry about going out and eating after church and what we're going to do tomorrow. Let's forget all that for right now. Let's just get our mind on one thing. Lord, I need you. I need you and I need more of you, Lord. Lord, I need your peace. I need your satisfaction. I need you to help me to surrender, Lord. Praise God. Help me to let go and let God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you turn and lay your hand on that person standing by you. Let's offer a word of prayer if you would. My, you never know what that individual's going through that's standing near you there. They may be fighting the deepest depression, terrible sickness in their body, disease, pain, family issues. But the Lord knows. You're an eagle. Brother Bram said, one eagle to another. Lord Jesus, as we lay our eagle's wings, as it were, upon our wife, our husband, our brother, our sister, our friend we go to church with, may the Spirit of God minister to your people tonight, Lord. Maybe there's different people in different cities or nations that stream in the service tonight. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit administer to them as well, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, touch your people. Lord, if there's ever an hour that we needed you, we need you now. Lord, our peace is on an onslaught of hell. We have to fight for our joy, fight for our peace, fight for happiness in our home. We have to fight for time to read our Bible, fight for time to listen to tapes, Lord. It's a time of great struggle. But Father, we believe you have called us for this hour. You saved us for this hour. You could have let us live in the days of Luther or Noah in the days of Pentecost, but you saved us for the end time. I believe you've done it for a reason, Lord. Then we're going to come out of this age and we're not going to be survivors, but we're going to be overcomers. I don't want to be a survivor in this age, but I want to be a conqueror. I want to be a conqueror, Lord Jesus. May you minister to every one of us tonight. Ministers, deacons, trustees, laity, each one of us, Father. May you go right down into that soul. Father, maybe some of them sit down there with intoxicating power of the Holy Ghost and they find themselves a little bit cold, a little bit indifferent. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help them with that trembling hand to reach over and open up that gate to the soul. Let that baptism of the Holy Ghost come in and fill them so full of the power of God. Hallelujah! That they begin to doubt their doubts, that they begin to lay aside everything that is contrary to your word. Lord Jesus, saturate our souls tonight, I pray. Father, we don't want just emotion. We don't want just a static outburst of jumping and shouting and leaving us empty, but we want strength in our souls. When the shouting is done and the music has stopped, we want power in us to help us to live right, Lord. Oh, praise God. What good is all the hoopla? What good is all the dancing if we can't overcome when we get done shouting? That's what we want, Lord. Power to live this gospel. That the word can be made flesh again.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, children, we're not no honky-tonk tonight. You know that. We're not in no bar joint or nothing like that. We're in the sanctuary of the house of God. May the angel of the Lord move among us tonight. My, my. Oh, may He come with that power. May the Holy Spirit come among us and just give us everyone a refilling of the Holy Ghost. How many can raise your hand to it and say, Lord, I need it. May it begin with me tonight, Lord. Just a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father. Oh, glory to God. That anointing, Father God, that'll not just produce emotion and feeling, but produce a joy and abundance in our souls, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Heavenly Father. We bless your name. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, come on, don't just sip a little bit and set it back down. Keep on pressing and go on in far enough to where you get past your doubts and past your worries, past your concern about being embarrassed. But, Brother Donnie, what would people think? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's more important what he thinks than what people think. That's exactly right. Oh, glory to God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's worship Him, children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Father. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let it rain. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Open the floodgates.
Oh, God. Oh, my Lord.
Let it rain.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Let it rain.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Open the floodgates.
Oh, yes,
of heaven. Let it rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let it rain.
Let's worship Him now. Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of the heaven. In my soul, let it rain. Let it rain.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Glory.
Open the floodgates of the heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain. Lord Jesus, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Praise God.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Open the floodgates.
It gets hot and dry around here. Then the thunderstorms will come in July, August, and June. They come heavy, they come fast, they come quick. A lot of times you don't get much benefit out of it because it runs off. And what do we say? You know what? We need a good, steady, slow rain. It'll slow it down. Why? So it can saturate and run in the ground. Maybe that's what you need tonight in that older brother of yours. That soul of yours, just a few minutes of
of steady rain to where your leaves are raised up and your branches in the presence of God. Maybe you don't need a big thunderstorm and the lightning and the rain just pouring everywhere and the runoff. Maybe you just need a few minutes in the presence of a good, slow, steady rain. Hallelujah. And it begins to just wet your soul and saturate you. Oh my. Hallelujah. Can we just close our eyes? Raise our branches, as it were, our hands up into the presence of the King. Sing it again, Harry. Let's just worship Him together. Let this steady rain of the Holy Spirit. Maybe if you're struggling with things of the world, habits or whatever more. Children, this is a place of deliverance. Don't bring your habits in and carry them back out. You can be set free. Brother Donnie, I can't overcome. Well, maybe that was so. When you come in, you don't have to leave that same way. This is a place of deliverance. You brought depression? Don't take it back home with you and baby that devil. Let God set you free tonight of that depression. Stand in the steady rain of the Holy Ghost. Let Him free you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. We worship You, Lord. Sing it, Harry. Let's just sing it together now. Just close your eyes if you would. What's troubling you? What's on your heart? What's burdening you? Let the rain come. Send it, Lord Jesus. The steady rain of the Holy Ghost.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Oh, rain down peace, Lord. Rain down healing, Lord. Rain down deliverance, Lord. Rain down a desire to pray. A desire of renewal, Lord.
In my thirsty soul, let it rain.
Let it rain, Lord.
Let it rain.
Let it rain on me as the pastor, Jesus. Let me be saturated. Sing, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Praise God. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many brought something to be able to take it back home with you in your soul? Can we just sing it together? Here's my cup, Lord. I lift.
Fill it up and make
Every day I live.
Lord.